The Fourth Century, Chapter 61 through 70. Number 61. Since love will thrust in itself as the greatest of all principles, let us at last willingly allow it room. I was once a stranger to it. Now I am familiar with it as a daily acquaintance. 'Tis the only heir and benefactor of the world. It seems it will break in everywhere as that without which the world could not be enjoyed. Nay, is that without which it would not be worthy to be enjoyed, for it was beautified by love, and commandeth the love of a donor to us. Love is a phoenix that will revive in its own ashes, inherit death, and smell sweetly in the grave. Number 62. These two properties are in it, that it can attempt all and suffer all. And the more it suffers, the more it is delighted, and the more it attempts, the more it is enriched. For it seems that all love is so mysterious that there is something in it which needs expression, and can never be understood by any manifestation of itself in itself, but only by mighty doings and sufferings. This moved God the Father to create the world, and God the Son to die for it. Nor is this all. There are many other ways whereby it manifests itself as well as these, there being still something infinite in it behind, in its laws, in its tenderness, in its provisions, in its caresses, in its joys as well as in its hazards, in its honors as well as in its cares. Nor does it ever cease till it has poured out itself in all its communications, in all which it ever writes and satisfies itself. For above all things in all worlds it desires to be magnified, and taketh pleasure in being glorified before its object. For which cause also it does all those things which magnify its object and increase its happiness. Number 63. Whether love principally intends its own glory or its object's, happiness is a great question, and of the more importance, because the right ordering of our own affections depends upon the solution of it. For on the one side, to be self-ended is mercenary and base and slavish, and to do all things for one's own glory is servile and vainglory. On the other, God does all things for himself, and seeks his glory as his last end, and is himself the end whom he seeks and attains in all his ways. How shall we reconcile this riddle, or untie this knot? For some men have taken occasion hereby, seeing this in love, to affirm that there is no true love in the world, but it is all self-love whatsoever a man does, implying also that it was self-love in our Saviour that made him to undertake for us, whereupon we might justly question whether it were more for his own ends or more for ours, as also whether it were for his own end that God created the world or more for ours. For extraordinarily much of our duty and felicity hangs upon this point, and whatsoever sword unties this Gordian knot will open a world of benefit and instruction to us. Number 64. God doth desire as his sovereign end but true glory. For whence it follows that he doth sovereignly and supremely desire both his own glory and man's happiness. Though that be miraculous, yet it is very plain. For true glory is to love another for his own sake, and to prefer his welfare, and to seek his happiness, which God does, because it is true glory. So that he seeks the happiness of angels and men as his last end, and in that his glory, to wit, his true glory. False and vain glory is inconsistent with his nature, but true glory is the very essence of his being, which is love unto his beloved, love unto himself, love unto his creatures. Number 65. How can God be love unto himself without the imputation of self-love? Did he love himself under any other notion than as he is the lover of his beloved, there might be some danger. But the reason why he loves himself, being because he is love, nothing is more glorious than his self-love. For he loves himself because he is infinite and eternal love to others. Because he loves himself, he cannot endure that his love should be displeased. And loving others vehemently and infinitely, All the love he bears to himself is tenderness towards them. All that wherein he pleases himself is delightful to them. He magnifies himself in magnifying them. And in fine, his love unto himself is his love unto them, and his love unto them is love unto himself. They are individually one, which it is very amiable and beautiful to behold, because therein the simplicity of God doth evidently appear. The more he loved them, the greater he is, and the more glorious. The more he loves them, the more precious and dear they are to him. The more he loves them, the more joys and treasures he possesses. The more he loves them, the more he delights in their felicity. The more he loves them, the more he rejoices in all his works for serving them, and in all his kingdoms for delighting them. And being loved to them, the more he loves himself, and the more jealous he is lest himself should be displeased, the more he loves and tenders them and secures their welfare. And the more he desires his own cry, the more good he doth for them, in the more divine and genuine manner. You must love after his similitude. Number 66. He from whom I derived these things delighted always that I should be acquainted with principles that would make me fit for all ages, and truly in love there are enough of them. For since nature never created anything in vain, and love of all other is the most glorious, there is not any relic or parcel of that shall be unused. It is not like gold made to be buried and concealed in darkness, but like the sun to communicate itself wholly in its beams unto all. It is more excellent and more communicative. It is hid in a center and nowhere at all, if we respect its body. But if you regard its soul, it is an interminable sphere, which, as some say of the sun, is infinities infinita, in the extension of its beams, being equally vigorous at all places, equally near to all objects, equally acceptable to all persons, and equally abundant in all its overflowing, infinitely everywhere. This of naked and divested love in its true perfection. Its own age is too little to contain it. Its greatness is spiritual, like the deities. It fills the world and exceeds what it fills. It is present with all objects, and tastes all excellencies, and meets the infiniteness of God in everything, so that in length it is infinite as well as in breadth, being equally vigorous at the utmost bound to which it can extend as here, and as wholly there as here, and wholly everywhere. Thence also it can see into further spaces, things present and things to come, height and depth being open before it, and all things in heaven, eternity, and time equally near. Number 67. Were not love the darling of God, this would be a rash and a bold sally. But since it is his image, and the love of God, I may almost say the God of God, because his beloved, all this happens unto love. And this love is your true self when you are in act what you are in power, the great daemon of the world, the end of all things, the desire of angels and of all nations, a creature so glorious that having seen it, it puts an end to all curiosity and swallows up all admiration. Holy, wise, and just towards all things, blessed in all things, the bride of God, glorious before all, his offspring and firstborn, and so like him, that being described, one would think it he. I should be afraid to say all of this of it, but that I know him, how he delights to have it magnified, and how he hath magnified it infinitely before, because it is his bride and firstborn. I will speak only a little of its violence and vigor afar off. It can love an act of virtue in the utmost indies, and hate a vice in the highest heavens. It can see into hell, and adore the justice of God among the damned. It can behold and admire his love from everlasting. It can present his infinite and eternal love. It can rejoice in the joys which it foresees. Can love Adam in Eden, Moses in the wilderness, Aaron in the tabernacle, David before the ark, St. Paul among the nations, and Jesus either in the manger or on the cross. All these it can love with violence, and when it is restored from all that is terrene and sensual to its true spiritual being, it can love these, or any of these, as violently as any person in the living age. Number 68. Shall it not love violently what God loves, what Jesus Christ loves, what all saints and angels love? Moses glorified God in a wonderful manner. He prophesied of Christ. He plagued the Egyptians. He brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. He guided them in the wilderness. He gave us the law. He loved the people more than his own life, yea, than his own self, and all the possible glory that might have accrued to him. And what shall we think of Christ himself? Shall not all our love be where he is? Shall it not wholly follow and attend him? Shall it not forsake other objects, but love them all in him, and him in them, and them the more because of him, and him the more because of them? For by him it is redeemed to them. So that as God is omnipresent, our love shall be at once with all. That is, we, having these strengths to animate and quicken our affection. Number 69. To love one person with a private love is poor and miserable. To love all is glorious. To love all persons in all ages, all angels, all worlds is divine and heavenly. To love all cities and all kingdoms, all kings and all peasants, and every person in all worlds with the natural, intimate, familiar love, as of him alone, is blessed. This makes a man effectually blessed in all worlds, a delightful lord of all things, a glorious friend to all persons, a concerned person in all transactions, and ever present with all affairs, so that he must ever be filled with company, ever in the midst of all nations, ever joyful and ever blessed. The greatness of this man's love no man can measure. It is stable like the sun. It endures forever as the moon. It is a faithful witness in heaven. It is stronger and more great than all private affections. It represents every person in the light of eternity, and loves him with a love of all worlds, with a love conformable to God's, guided to the same ends and founded upon the same causes, which, however lofty and divine it is ready to humble itself into the dust to serve the person beloved. And by how much the more sublime and glorious it is so much the more sweet and truly delightful, majesty and pleasure concurring together. Number 70. Now you may see what it is to be a son of God more clearly. Love in its glory is the friend of the Most High. It was begotten of him, and is to sit in his throne, and to reign in communion with him. It is to please him, and to be pleased by him, in all his works, ways, and operations. It is ordained to hold an eternal correspondence with him in the highest heavens. It is here in its infancy, there in its manhood and perfect stature. He wills and commands that it should be reverenced of all, and takes pleasure to see it admired in its excellencies. If love thus displayed be so glorious a being, how much more glorious and great is he that is sovereign Lord of all lords, and the heavenly King of all these. So many monarchs under one supreme mightily set forth the glory of his kingdom. If you ask by what certainty, or by what rules we discover this, as by the seed we conjecture what plant will arise, and know by the acorn what tree will grow forth, or by the eagle's egg what kind of bird, so do we by the powers of the soul upon earth know what kind of being, person, and glory it will be in the heavens. Its blind and latent power shall be turned into act. Its inclinations shall be completed and its capacities filled. For by these means it is made perfect. A spiritual king is an eternal spirit. Love in the abstract is a soul exerted. Neither do you esteem yourself to be any other than love alone. God is love, and you are never like him till you are so. Love unto all objects in like manner.